Welcome to the Carpcast. Introducing the two biggest nods that don't use jobs. They're old, grumpy, and they're pretty opinionated. Here's your host, it's Mark and Jamie.
Santa here. A very Merry Christmas and the happiest New Year. Ho, ho, ho.
All right, everybody, north and south, I just want to wish you all happy Christmas and all the best for the New Year. I'm walking around Bluewater, it's really Christmassy around here, and just wanted to say hello to my northern mates. I love everyone up north. And I look forward to doing the Carpcast in the new year.
Hello and welcome to the Christmas edition, the festive edition of the Carpcast. How's it going, Mark? You feeling Christmassy?
Yeah, I've got something for you.
Go on.
I bet you just didn't hear that, did you?
I heard a big crash bang. Was it a can opening?
It was a can opening, yeah, so cheers.
Cheers. And a big thank you to John Mack for doing the intro there. And he will be here in the new year. And we've got a few other celebrities wishing you happy Christmas as well. So we're on episode 27 and it's Christmas Day. Well, it's actually Christmas Eve for us, but you will be hearing this instead of the Queen, I hope. what do you feel like going against the Queen, Mark?
I think we can win her in a fight. She looks a bit frail.
Yeah.
Beef eaters that worry me.
You phoned in sick last week. Tell us why.
I did. Because the wife surprised me. She took me out for lunch and unbeknown to me, she had the suitcases in the boot. We drove over to Manchester, then went to Iceland.
And what, like where you buy your shopping from?
Yeah, we had 3 nights in aisle 3. We just camped out there next to the frozen sausage rolls. So, in blankets. But no, we went to Iceland. You know, I've always wanted to go over there, but never really thought I'd do much about it. So she booked it as a surprise for my 20th birthday. Times two.
Yeah.
And all I can say is, what a country. It's brilliant. This scenery is out of this world. You know, and one thing I wanted to see was the Northern Lights.
Yeah, did you see him?
Sort of. It's a natural phenomenon which you can't predict, you can't rely on it, like pretty much like the British weather.
And fishing.
And fishing, yeah. So, on his first night, that was the best forecast for seeing it. So, we go on a boat trip, and from like 9 o'clock, well, midnight, we were out in the Icelandic Sea on a boat. The wind chill was about minus 48. And we saw the Northern Lights. Although it wasn't a Northern Lights, it was more of a pathetic green glow.
The Northern Glow.
Yeah. When I've looked on Facebook, there's Matt Hayes, he was over in Norway, I believe, and posted some absolutely cracking shots of the Northern Lights over there, but I've seen them, so I'll just have to go back and see them again.
And I saw some pictures of you swimming in the sea with ice on all around. Tell us about that. What's all that about?
It's bloody cold. But yeah. No, qualify it. They've got... I'm not even going to try and pronounce where this place is because, well, the Icelandic language is not something I'll be mastering anytime soon. But, oh, it's a volcanic island, Iceland, obviously, so all the beaches that are there are all black stuff, but there's this one little man-made beach with proper golden sand that they've brought in, and just behind this beach is like a rectangle hot tub with this geothermal heated water, this volcanic stuff piped in, and you sit in there, it's about, you know, 38 to 40 degrees, it's all steaming, and then you go for a swim in the sea, which hovers around minus 2 to plus 2 degrees.
Wow.
I've since read it gets to the dizzy heights of 15 degrees in the summer.
Wow.
So, and these are the locals coming down, the local Icelandic people. They get go in the changing rooms behind. They come out. They have got neoprene gloves on, some neoprene socks, a pair of budgie smugglers, and then they're swimming around this bay in this frigid cold water. So me and my wife have kind of egged each other on, and we've done it. Well, we've run in, splashed around a bit, thought, God damn, this is cold, let's get back in the warm.
Straight back in the 30 degrees volcanic water.
Yeah, but no, I'll be honest, I was in there for a good minute. I was sat there after splashing around thinking, yeah, I'm in there up to my neck. And honestly, I've never felt anything like it. It's like you are being stabbed with a million pins on every inch of your body.
Yeah, I've had that feeling before. I forgot my spud once in March, and I laid down, was fishing, and I ended up swimming the bait out. I put all my hemp mix and maggots and everything in a carrier bag and stripped off, swam out, because it was, I'll say where it was, it was Colmere in Shropshire back in the day, and it was that spring that I caught the fish, the banana and stuff, and obviously, you pretty much got the place yourself. 99% of the time I was there, I never saw another person. So I've stripped bollock naked, got no spud, and I need to get this bait out. And I was like, how am I going to do it? Right, I'm going to have to swim it. And I thought the water was poisonous. It hurt that much. Exactly how you've just described it, the pins, like somebody's just stabbing you on every inch of your skin, like with a knife. That's what it feels like. I thought I'd been poisoned. When I got out, it was unreal. I mean, that place, it's... I don't know if it's 40 foot in its deepest point, but obviously it's a glacial mere, been there, what, 12,000 years or something. And it was March. It was cold. but it didn't feel cold. Like when I was swimming, I didn't really feel the cold. It was when I got out, and it was that feeling of, you know, like I said, just being stabbed all over, and it took me a couple of hours for my skin to get normal. I really thought I'd put the bivvy down, the door down on the bivvy, and blasted the Coleman on, and it took about 2 hours to come round. But it's supposed to be very good for you, isn't it, what you're talking about? Like a lot of sports people do it, don't they? Go into the cold, ice cold, and then into the, like, a sauna or into the really warm water. It's like a treatment, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Have you heard about these... Is it cryogenic treatment? Joe Rogan does that.
That's what I'm talking about, this cryogenic stuff where they freeze you. It's supposed to help you, like athletes, repair from injuries and stuff a lot quicker.
Yeah, definitely. And, well, from my own personal experience, you know, we jumped out of the seawater back into the nice hot geothermal volcanic water, which incidentally turned my wedding ring a nice shade of purpley black.
Nice.
It's gone back to normal now. It's kind of come clean, but I thought it just kind of gave it a bit of character.
or it shows that you tricked the missus and got it off the market.
Yeah. Oh, I'll openly tell you, the wedding ring I'm wearing now is a cheap one. It's also my third one, having lost two expensive ones.
Yeah, no point buying another expensive one.
So, yeah, if anyone down St Ives finds a wedding ring, let me know. Or two. They're both down there.
You're losing both on St Ives. Oh, I bet that went down well when you got home.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you now, one was in works on the lagoon. You know, I've waded out up to my knees. I'm just picking a Canadian off the line, and it's just come off. You know, I don't know if I'd lost a bit of weight. And the other one was on shallow lagoon. I caught a fish called Laney's out of there, which it's a good 40 now. At the time, it was 33. And usually, I take my wedding ring off while I'm dealing with fish. And for some reason... No, I didn't. I've dealt with the fish, and then it's not there. I've gone back, I've looked at my pictures of holding the fish, the wedding ring is on, and then it's not. So I can say to all the married gentlemen listeners out there, do your best not to lose your wedding ring. It is not worth it.
No.
Weeks in the doghouse.
No. So to finish the Iceland story, do anything else good over there? Would you go back? Would you recommend it to our listeners?
We are going back, definitely. We did the Blue Lagoon over there as well, which is another like big geothermal hot tub sort of place. We sat in hot steaming water, which is just kind of like a milky blue colour, and it's snowing. But it's got this like silica mud, which you like plaster on your face like a mud pack, and it's got all these healing properties, and you can actually go to the doctors in Iceland, and if you've got any psoriasis or any skin conditions, he will give you a prescription and go sit in the Blue Lagoon for a couple of hours.
Really?
And, oh, yeah, it's done wonders for my complexion. My skin is silky smooth.
Cool. Well, so it's a pretty good excuse for being off the for the week, and happy 40th birthday.
Yeah, thank you. We also saw a geezer.
Yep. Yeah, what? Do you have a beard?
No, it wasn't a John Mac or a Daryl. It was a geezer which spouted water. Yeah, it spouted water 40 foot in the air.
Ah, right, a geezer.
A proper geezer. And again, I'm not going to even try and pronounce its name.
Was it a man's geezer?
Oh, it was a very manly geezer. It was reading about it. Everyone knows what they are. They just squirt water out and steam a bit.
But, I've met a few birds like that.
Yeah. Well, I was, because I love my science. I'm a bit of a, I'm a total geek, as I've admitted before, but these holes, it's like 2,000 metres down this water goes, where it meets basically lava, which obviously boils the water down there, and then these bubbles just fart up on the surface, which is what we see.
Ah, just like you've been in the bath.
Yeah, more than likely. Or the Blue Lagoon.
Yes. Yeah, there it sounds...
There's a few suspect bubbles coming up from my area there.
It sounds pretty... Yeah, is there any carp in Iceland?
I did see some. In a little garden pond. So, no, I didn't try and catch them. There were little ornamental ghosties in a pond in front of a Viking hotel.
We must have some. I mean, we have listeners from a few Scandinavian countries, and there are, was it Sweden that people have been sending us pictures of some fantastic-looking car, real scaly things, which is amazing. But, yeah, there's... I've always fancied it as well, Iceland, see the Northern Lights. Probably won't take my fishing rods, but yeah, it comes recommended then, obviously.
Happy Christmas, everyone, and have a great new year. Hope you catch plenty of big fish. Obviously, I don't know if Jamie said it, but it's Frank Warwick. So I'm going to be on the show very, very soon, early in the new year. So it'd be good to have a good old chat, and hope you enjoy it. And about time too, but I've been busy with work. You know, I've been working abroad in Norway and stuff, and I do work, so not a full-time angler. So good to catch up with y'all. Have a nice one.
And this is the Christmas edition. We're feeling festive. We're nearly not too far off our 1 year anniversary for the Carpcast. Did we start in January last year? Was it January or February?
It was January. We'll have to have a look at the SoundCloud account, see when episode 1 with Kevin Nash was launched to get the exact date. But I do remember driving over to Blackpool, then driving back over the M62 in a blizzard.
Yeah, we will be interviewing Kevin Nash for our 1 year anniversary, and hopefully we will be on the Copse Lake. That is kind of what's been suggested. We're certainly going to go down there and to interview him. Down to sunny Essex. January is maybe not ideal, but this is not really winter weather yet, is it? I mean, fish are getting caught everywhere. Before we do more on that, somebody has supported us for quite some time now, and we hope they continue to do so into 2016, and that's DNA Baits, www.dnabaits.com. We'll take you to their website where you can find loads and loads of deals, and probably be a slow time for selling boilies generally at this time of year, but fish are getting caught everywhere, as we're going to tell you at the minute, or you will know from your Facebook page. And they do all the boilie deals. They're doing post-free deals, and you can get an extra discount with the code CARPCAST5. They do a 5 kilo post-free deal. It's only $59.99, and it comes with your choice of boilie. It comes with matching pellets or stick mix, and a tub of pop-ups or wafters, and 250ml of bait soak, and it's free delivery for under £6 a kilo. For $59.99 for 5 kilo, which including all the extra bits is just under £12. but you get tons and tons of extra bits with it. There's the 10 kilo pack, which is $94.99, and it's again post free, comes with the bait soap, comes with free delivery, comes with pop-ups or wafters, stick mix or matching pellets, and obviously your choice of boiling. There's a fluoro pop-up deal, which is five assorted tubs of fluoro pop-ups, £25 post-free. There's a 20-kilo deal with all the extras as well, $149.99, which normally at this time of year, you'd wouldn't be thinking about slinging 20 kilo boiling, but if this weather stays like this, you know, and you're using a couple of kilo per session, you could easily do that in over the winter, I think. Yeah. And we're going fishing next week, aren't we, Mark? We're going to head up on day after Boxing Day for 3 nights to Cromwell. You're hopefully going to get up there for 24 hours. And Cromwell's fished its head off, done 48 fish in December, which is unreal. Bearing in mind it closed a few days ago. So, you know, it's only had like 20 days of December that it was open. It's done 48 fish, which is unreal. So yeah, you can use plenty of bait, or it's a great time of year for zigs, and they're doing their big zig deal. One of which I'm looking at now. I'm certainly going to have a couple of rods out on zigs this week on Cromwell. The big zig deal is only £30, and it's free postage, so it's £30 delivered to your door. You can go large for a fiver extra if you want and get extra bits, but generally it's got 2.5 kilos of spod mix in it. A bottle of the sticky sweet dip, which my pal Roger Bacon was around yesterday. He had all his fish early in the year on that sticky sweet dip. I can't wait to use it, actually. I've got me foam, me zig foam, soaking in it now, ready for this week. You get Fox zig aligners with it, and you get all the bits you need, and it's only £30 posted to your door. DNABaits.co.uk. Use the code CARPCAST5 when you check out, and you get an extra 5% discount off everything as well. So it's even more value. And get the bait in, because there's tons of fish getting caught.
You know, I wouldn't hesitate in baiting up this time of year. I don't think I'd fish over masses still, but in between sessions, if you can get down free bait, I wouldn't hesitate in putting quite a few in.
Well, the chap we spoke about last week, who had he's had 2 19 fish plus hits out of Cromwell in two separate sessions, one in November, one in December. He was catching over bait. He was spotting constantly. And I mean, you don't catch 20 fish without having some bait in there. If you think of each fish that he caught at 2 mouthfuls, I mean, how much is that? Probably 5 to 10 key, you would say.
Oh, at least
plus all the fish that he didn't catch. You know, I went to the shop today. Obviously, I'm taking Boily down there. I'm using the key. I've got all my zig gear, a load of spod mix, and I've got 2 gallon of maggots today as well. So hopefully they won't be dead by the time we go. But they are getting some bait. I'm going to get in that peg that he's been in, peg 6.
When are you getting there?
About an hour before you, so be quiet. Not telling you, but it'll be before you get there.
Shades of it 2 times there.
Yeah, whatever day, I'll tell you, I'll be there the day before. The old manoeuvres. But we'll be going down there. I think we mate Dave. I think he's coming as well. Hopefully Roger's going to get down for a couple of nights as well, and you're going to get down, and maybe we'll catch some fish. If not, we'll definitely have a few beers, I think. I think it should be good fun. But yeah, another sponsor in 2015 of the Carpcast is Fat Fish Clothing. Fatfishclothing.co.uk, where you can find all sorts of t-shirts, polo shirts, hoodies, waterproofs. They do a big boy range of gear for the larger carpers. Tons and tons of headwear, joggers. You can buy birthday gift cards, Christmas cards. Or it'll be a bit late for Christmas cards if you haven't already sent them by the time you hear this. But you can buy all sorts of gifty stuff, and you can get all their gear from various stockists. All the stockists are on their website, which is fatfishclothing.co.uk. But it's all like the major shops as well. You can buy the gear in there. Yately Angling, Tackle Box, Stapley, Ringwood Tackle, Johnson Ross Tackle, Invicta Angling, Harefield Tackle, Flora's Tackle. There's tons. You can find them on the website, fatfishclothing.co.uk. And I am a consultant for Fat Fish. I've been wearing these t-shirts and hoodies. For quite some time. I've got some of his waterproofs. It's fantastic gear. I wouldn't be saying that if I didn't use it myself. You will see me wearing his stuff on a recent Carp TV thingy that I did with Joe Morgan. I wear it all the time, along with me Nashy stuff as well, and anything else I can find. I've got all sorts of assorted gear that comes out in the winter, from years ago. A lot of it non-carpy, just stuff that we get from the Army and Navy store as well. All the t-shirts and what's it called, Gore-Tex waterproofs, me rucksacks, a bit of everything in the winter, and especially me long johns. they're not carpy. Yeah, have you got a set of them, Mark, them like under
got several.
Yeah, when you go through the winter, like if I walk outside the house without, because you get so used to having like a second skin. I mean, Nash actually do a set called Second Skins. I've got a set of them as well. It's like a green set, a bit thicker than me long johns. But you know the ones that you get from like British Home stores and stuff. They're like the old string vests where back when you're a kid and your mum made you wear a vest for school. No, my mum did. And they're like
still does.
It's almost like a thermally kind of. They're in lines, aren't they? Can you picture the ones that I mean? Mine are like horrible grey. You won't want anyone to see them in you. But if I go out the house after getting used to wearing them fishing all winter, and you go out the house without it, just with a normal pair of jeans, trousers, or trackies on, or whatever, without that second layer on your skin, you almost feel naked. Like it's, you don't. Just an underlayer, yeah. Top and bottom. I'm rambling, but
no, I know exactly how you feel, because we bought a couple of sets each for going to Iceland, because obviously it's the clue's in the name. It's cold over there.
Well, so, it was actually named. But I forget his name now. I mentioned this in the last show, and there's a bit of argument on Wikipedia about whether. This is a true story or not, or whether it's just a bit of a folk's tale, but it was named by a guy to kind of bum steer people. I don't know if the same guy named Greenland as well, but basically Greenland is very icy and Iceland's very green for the majority of the year. So some chap did make it with a view to settling there and putting people off visiting. I did read the full story last week, but so you bought yourself some Long John thermals, did you?
Yeah, nice and black. And they work. They're nice and nice and warm. The only problem is when you need to take a leak. By the time, I think you can be excused for the odd little bit of dribble with it if you're really busted by the time you actually get there.
Yeah.
Come on, we've all done it when we've been winter fishing.
I don't know if any other fishing companies make them. I know Nash do the, they call them second skins. It's just a basic, you put them on, but stick your boxes on, put the second skins on, and then get dressed as normal. I actually put my t-shirt on under the thermal skin top bit. So you can change your t-shirt and still have your thermal, you know, on like a 4-day session. You don't want the second skin light on your skin stinking of underarm sweat. At least you can change your t-shirt and your second skin's not stinking too bad. But they are fairly essential in the winter. If you don't have a set of thermal long johns of any brand, you are missing out. Just like a hot water bottle. Surprised how many carpies you speak to think you're crazy for taking a hot water bottle fishing. But
you know, I remember taking the piss out of you years back when you were the first person I seen with a hot water bottle, and I slaughtered you. I remember it. Although the fact it was, I think it was your daughter's My Little Pony hot water bottle, something like that.
Doesn't really matter. If I couldn't find mine, then I'll have nabbed anyone that I could. But yeah, the benefits of a hot water bottle while you're fishing in the winter are numerous, not just the obvious, you know, obviously getting it down in your kit bag before you get in bed at night is fantastic, but just for drying clothes, you know, if your socks get damp or anything like that, if you you put a hot water bottle like underneath your sleeping bag, or put a hot water bottle in the sleeping bag and then put your wet socks underneath the sleeping bag where the hot water bottle is, they're dry in no time. It's just really good for drying stuff out. You know, you just that's what I used to do. I used to have the hot water bottle in the kit bag and then put my wet socks underneath the kit bag, and it just dries really quickly. So super useful tool, especially if you like on them long nights in the winter, you wake up at like 3 or 4 in the morning because you've gone to sleep at like 7 at night because there's nothing to do. You wake up at 3 in the morning, gives you something to do, boil the kettle up again, you know, make a new hot water bottle and have a brew while you're doing it and listen to the sounds of nothing happening for a little while and then straight back in the kit bag. Takes you through that dawn kind of cold period in the really cold winter. But yeah, I don't think Fatfish Clothing sell long johns or water bottles, but I'm sure Lewis will be getting onto that. But check out all their stockists, fatfishclothing.co.uk, and you can get all the swag from there. We've confirmed our trip to we keep promising that we're going to go to St. Armand Leisure, which is probably one of the best family fishing holidays you can have. It's a beautiful, 170-year-old stone-built farmhouse with 4 double bedrooms. It's got like a barn and all sorts. And we finally booked our trip, 26th of March we're going. And there aren't many weeks left for next year. I spoke to Christoph and Lee, who own the place. Thanks to the Carp Cast, they haven't got that many weeks left next year. There's at least 10, so it's definitely worth checking with him. But we booked ours 26th of March. We're going to do a Carp Cast live from the bank there. There's a few of us going. We're going to take some kids and stuff. As long as the weather's not too cold at that time of year. Either way, I think we'll go. I think the lads will go for a bit of a fishing trip. But you on that one, Mark? You coming?
Oh, without a doubt. I think it would be rude not to with the support Christoph and Lee have shown us.
Yeah, certainly. StArmandLeisure.com. You can have a look at the place for yourself. It's absolutely fantastic. Loads of facilities in there. The lake is stuffed full of fish up to just below £50. It's a runs water. It's great for the family. There's 4 double bedrooms in the house and like games lounge with table tennis, darts and stuff. There's a big farmhouse kitchen with the big cookers and everything, wood burner, satellite TV, leather sofas, dining table. It's a real comfortable holiday to take the family. You can get 2 families in there at least. I mean, it's 4 double bedrooms and you can get 5 or 6 on the lake. It's a 4.5-acre spring-fed lake in a valley in a beautiful little French village. You can have a look at the entire village and the lake and the house and everything on their promotional video. They've had it done with a drone that flies all over the lake and everything, so you can see the little village and everything. It's absolutely beautiful around there. We'll post a link up for the drone on our Facebook page. We've posted it in the past, so you can have a look at that video for yourself. Or you can go on the website, StArmandLeisure.com. The notes will in the show notes will be the website and everything, and you can get hold of Lee. His UK mobile is 07854 857 374, or Chris, his mobile is 07428 183 018, and I passed that on to Ian McMillan last night. He's fancying a holiday. I know Chris texted me this morning saying thank you very much for passing Ting Tong on to him. I think they're looking for a family holiday over there as well next year, so that could be another week gone. So do book up. There is still weeks left for next year, but it's a fantastic place, and I think you'll want to go back. So and again, thank you for supporting us in 2015, and I know for sure Christoph's booked 6 months advertising up till February, and then next winter as well. He's booked that already, so it's certainly working. If you want to advertise on the Carp Cast, then do contact us. You can get us at Facebook, Twitter, anywhere really. Just send us a message and we will fit you in somewhere along the way, and it's much cheaper than you would think for our 22,000 downloads a month that we're currently getting, which is a lot.
It's on the net. It must be true.
On the net, we've got a good one this week.
We have. We've got a couple of good ones. Should we start off with the little bee that's in your bonnet at the minute?
Yeah. I'm disappointed in the human race sometimes. I know it's, I know there's a lot of good people out there and people that are just a little bit brainwashed by certainly our media and press, and our media is, it is aimed to make people think a certain way for other people's agendas. It's called propaganda, and John Mack's propaganda, which is when an Essex guy has a look at a Fitbird. He has a propaganda, but not that, but the actual propaganda is rife. You know, there's lots of news agencies, all the commercial ones, that are basically, lots of people are not aware that the news is a business. And people pay money, including governments, including businesses. They pay. Sky News is a commercial operation. The BBC is, to a degree, is state propaganda from the government. It's funded by the government. It's funded by us through the government because of government law. And it's basically a mouthpiece for the government. And I'm not being conspiratorial or anything here. These are facts. You know, most commercial news outlets are influenced by business, by, you know, people that want a certain opinion getting across. And so you can't blame people for believing it. But, you know, when the Paris attacks were on, we saw lots of, like, inherently racist. I'm not saying anybody's a bad person for falling for the stuff that you read and hear. But it kind of is a fact. And it frustrates me because I look for news in other sources, independent sources, things like Vice and Huffington Post and, you know, things, news agencies that pride themselves on being independent. And you kind of get the real picture of what's going on in certain places. So, you know, give everybody the benefit of the doubt. But I saw more racism on my Facebook than I ever would have liked to have seen after the Paris attacks. And, you know, to keep people out, let's not help our fellow human beings that are in war-torn countries just in case one of them's a terrorist and you know, they get smuggled in to our country. Heard a really good analogy the other day. I'm not going to get too political because it's Christmas and we're all happy. I heard a really good analogy the other day, and it was a Britain First post. It was they put a picture of 1,000 M&Ms, you know, the little sweets, little multicoloured sweets, and they're saying there's 10,000 M&Ms there and 10 of them are poisoned. Do you risk eating a poisoned one or do you throw the whole batch out like and not take the risk? They were kind of like comparing this to, this is why we shouldn't let any Syrian refugees or any other refugees, which is a really bad analogy because these are Skittles. It's no harm to us to throw the Skittles in the bin and just do without some Skittles, in so that we quite rightly wouldn't eat a poisoned one. But if you say there's 10,000 babies, 10,000 human beings laying in a pile, and 10 of them are going to grow up to be terrorists, like, do you kill all 10,000 babies because 10 of them might end up being terrorists? Of course you don't. Like, you're not going to murder or let these 10,000 babies starve, are you, just because 10 of them will probably grow up to be murderers? You know, the fact is one in X amount of people is a murderer, whether they're from any country, whether they're English, Brazilian, Spanish, French, or whatever. Some people are bad. It's as simple as that. But turning your back on fellow man, especially at a time like Christmas. But I don't blame people for being, you know, having that attitude of kind of keeping, you know, keeping England, England and all that, because we're kind of brainwashed by media, by news, by Facebook and stuff. We're kind of, anyway, I want to help all human beings, you know, we're all the same. And then, so the Paris stuff died down, and then I saw it all start again this week in a Christmassy theme over carp being sold in Tesco's and other supermarkets. And I saw the same stuff being said, and I couldn't help myself but get involved. People saying the same stuff: keep the Polish out, they eat our pride and joy for Christmas. You know, it's basically, carp is a traditional Polish dish. They serve it on Christmas Day. Now, lots and lots of Europe eat carp. They eat them in Germany, they eat them in lots of the Eastern European countries, your Romanias, and like lots of them. In fact, there's probably more European countries that eat carp than don't. England just happens to be one of the ones that don't. But some of the stuff people were saying, you know, that these bastards are all poaching our lakes or stealing our carp. Now, that's a totally separate issue. Yes, you know, some people do poach and some people have netted our lakes. That's an issue for the police. That's an issue for the EA. That's an issue for clubs to be vigilant. And 100%, let's get behind that and do whatever we can to raise awareness and stop people doing that. But no poaching's going down when somebody's looking at a carp lay on a bed of ice in Tesco's at £6 a kilo. First of all, £6 a kilo.
That's cheap.
It's to buy a live carp to stock into your lake. The going rate's about £6 a pound. And that's, well, £6 a pound's quite cheap, actually. So you can actually buy farmed, reared, fed, transported to a supermarket and displayed for less than half the price, way less than half the price. So is this another example of carp anglers getting ripped off? I don't know, but
you can only eat a dead carp from the supermarket once. You can catch a live one again and again.
Yeah, but some of the you know, some of the ones I've seen, they were really nice pretty mirrors that that were on
well, you're not going to want to eat a pellet fed simo, are you? That's going to taste of mud.
Yeah,
it's a nice fit leany.
Well, most people don't realise that mirror carp were actually bred for the table. They're bred without scales to make it easier to prepare. Now, carp were brought into this country by the monks for food. You know, the only reason we've got carp to fish for is because they were put on this island for food. So why anybody would get upset about, you know, Tesco selling a traditional dish for many, many people who live here. And I, you know, I've seen people say stuff like, live in our country, eat our food. I'm like, what? Have you never had an Indian? Have you never had a kebab in your life? Have you never had a Chinese? So what you're basically saying with that logic is get rid of every Indian, Chinese, Greek, Turkish, takeaway in the country, because we what should only eat what, fish and chips? Do you know the most popular dish in the entire UK?
Indian
tikka masala, which the Indians don't even eat. They invented it for us because
that's jolly nice of them.
we're soft asses and didn't like their spicy stuff, so they made a girly old mild dish for the English called chicken tikka masala, and that is the national dish of England. It's the most popular or biggest eaten food in the UK, and it's Indian. So to sit there saying, you know, eat our food. There were people spreading such hatred for carp being on display in Tesco's. I mean, there's carp in fishmongers all year round if you actually go and look, but how many people actually go in their regular fishmongers? The supermarkets just stock them at Christmas because it's a traditional dish for lots and lots of Eastern Europeans. I tried carp in Romania when I was over there. It was horrible. I didn't like it. I didn't like much of their food, to be honest, but I tried it. But who are we to say what other people can eat? And one particularly vicious person who was, you know, giving it all English food for English people. If you live in our country, live by our food, you know, saying crap like that. I'm like, yeah, and I bet when you go on holiday to the Costa del Sol, you're the first one looking for an English breakfast. You know, you're so close-minded, you don't eat anything. You know, you're probably walking the strip looking for an English pub for English food. Well, what a hypocrite. So if you're in Spain, eat Spanish food. No, I don't eat anything but English food. I don't eat Indian. I don't eat Chinese. I don't eat turkey. Well, what do you do when you go abroad then? You know, imagine if they had the same bigoted point of view that you've got. Yeah, you'd starve on Aldi. You wouldn't eat anything.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. Earlier the year when I went to America, I ate American food, which is great big fat burgers and monster pizzas and massive puddings that you can't even pick up. That's nice.
I feel like I've had a bit of a rant.
You have. I think that's a long round way of saying, yes, Polish eat carp, supermarkets sell them, they are farmed for the table, they've not stolen, get over it.
Yeah, that's the key thing. I mean, what should we not serve them in? People are like disgusted by like carp laying on ice. I mean, I've seen them for over 10 years in Tesco's. You know, they've always done it at Christmas. And, like, we stick hooks in them and drag them out of their home to take a picture and put them back. I mean, let's just be a little bit realistic here. You know, how, like, people aren't allowed to eat them for food, which is why they're actually brought to this country, but we're allowed to, like, almost torture them for fun. like, you know, but just because we lay them on a nice mat and then take a picture and put them back, like, that makes it okay. I mean, I've no problem with people eating them, I've no problem with people catching them, but it's just hypocritical, I think. And there's a few people out there need to open their minds a little bit, and I'm just a bit disappointed in the human race at times, you know. But I never thought I would see such racist hatred over fish at Christmas. You know, yes, you can understand the Paris attacks and stuff like that, because people were killed, and, you know, we're all a little bit, or we're being scaremongered into worrying that it's going to happen in our local shopping centre or whatever. So obviously that's, you know, that's the point of terrorism, is to put terror into people and make people worry. So you can almost understand it, and you know, I'll give people the benefit of the doubt for having a little bit of a closed mind, because our media, you know, if you don't look elsewhere for your media, you're going to be spoon-fed what quite often is somebody's agenda. But I didn't expect to see it over Carping Tesco's. I did not expect to see it. I was disappointed.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask, have you ever listened to Eddie Bravo when he's been on Joe Rogan talking about his conspiracy theories? Because you would love it.
I have, yeah. I've listened to Eddie Bravo a lot.
I thought you might have done.
Yeah, a hell of a lot. Yeah, I'm not a conspiracist. You know, what I say is facts. You know, the news is a business. It's media. You know, that's why the Daily Express print, the fact that we, you know, if you believe what the Daily Express said every year, we'd be sat in 4 foot of snow now and would have been for the last month. They say every year we've had the mildest December on record. It was 16 degrees yesterday, 16 degrees on the 23rd of December. But like I say, according to the Daily Express, we should be under 4 foot of snow. And they say it every year, you know, that it's the old distraction technique of newspapers, and, you know, they're a business, they're trying to sell papers, so they deliberately say things to provoke reaction. But anyway, let's not go into the news and conspiracies there. Have you seen anything else on the net?
Well, everybody, thanks for all the support through 2015. It's been an absolutely magnificent year for me in particular, but also obviously for Team England. Your support is appreciated, as we always say. Also, got to say well done to Mark and Jane. What a brilliant concept Carpcast has been. Happy Christmas to absolutely everybody out there. Have a really good time with your family. Happy New Year as well. And may 2016 bring everything you want it to bring. Cheers, guys.
Ho, ho, ho.
It's on the net. It must be true.
There's something that has been all over. Plenty of people have been sharing it, sharing a petition, which I think we'll share on our page when this goes out as well. And that's about Bristol Council wanting to remove and kill all the fish in a park lake to stop people fishing it.
Yeah, this is a good one that's been running this week, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beyond belief, to be honest. I'm sure there's a lot simpler solutions to any problems that they might have, but they just, when they come out and say they're just going to euthanise, that's the word they've used.
Euthanise.
Yeah, all the fish. But now I've been looking into this a bit, and I listened to an excerpt from one of the local radio stations, and I even read a report on the lake that they've been commissioned from 2011. It wasn't an environment agency report, it was a private firm. And all it said about the fish was it was overstocked. That was it. Yeah, and now these people have been saying these fish are in poor health, yeah, so they can't move them. So now I'm having a rant now. They've not come out and said why they've said they're in poor health. They may have a parasite or anything, but then just about every lake is.
Yep.
And yeah, there's a lot of the parasites are endemic now, and you can still move the fish. They've also blaming anglers for just about every problem that have been on this part lake, by the sounds of it. It's also, if you've seen the urban banks in Bristol, that's the park lake.
That's the park lake where Alan was fishing, Alan Blair, and he just moved. There's a line where you can fish, isn't there? And I think he was just over this line, kind of into the no fishing side. And was she a dog walker? Some woman went crazy at him, like on camera. If you haven't seen that, it's one of the earlier urban banks. I can't remember which one. But yeah, this woman's going crazy, you know, basically giving all kind of non-anglers arguments that, you know, you're hurting the fish, you're poaching, you know, it's unethical. And it seems to me like there's a group of busybodies around that lake that have probably instigated this, you know, busybodies like her constantly complaining.
Quite possibly. And I think this is something we should carry on with. We can't do much at the minute with it being Christmas. Yes, everyone's not at work and stuff, but I know people from the Angling Trust have approached the BVC. They've offered the council, you know, advice and encouragement to get in touch. The another local club I've got from Terry Smith, the Bitterwell fishery manager, he's approached them offering to help with a solution just so they don't needlessly kill a load of fish.
Well, this has been one of the good things about Facebook and social media, because in the past this might have just gone on and happened, whereas there's been such outcry from anglers. I mean, people have been contacting us on the Carpcast, you know, we are part of the media now, and I've seen petitions, government petitions go up with people sharing it, and there's been such a move against, you know, killing a large amount of fish in a lake that the council, I don't see how they're going to get away with doing this now.
No, they said they want to take the action around January or February, which into the new year it gives, like, the Angling Trust and, you know, the local anglers and local clubs chance to intervene and hopefully you know, come up with a solution that doesn't involve needlessly slaughtering the fish.
Well, that they, one of the arguments they always use, you know, against angling is that the, you know, there's injuries to swans and cygnets, and you know, you're going to get that on a part lake, you're going to get some, you know, less careful anglers leaving line and stuff about, and that's the same on every single part lake in the country. It's something that obviously is an issue and has to be managed you know, by the relevant powers that be. You know, have fishing clubs on lake, you have bailiffs, you know, you can control this sort of stuff, and that's the best way to just, like, they've tried to stop people fishing, which never works, because, you know, like, there's, I don't think it's a God-given right, but there is certainly an entitlement, you know, if the water's got fish in it, and we're all hunters, and like I say, the reason why fish are in waters was primarily for food, you know, we are hunters by nature, and our natural urge is to go and fish it. You know, if you're a local kid and there's a park lake there with a load of fish in it, it doesn't matter, there might be a fishing sign up saying no fishing, you know, you're going to do it. The best way is to control it. It's always been the preferred method, rather than just to ban things. And nobody likes being told they can't do something, especially if maybe you've fished there for years and years and years as a kid, and all of a sudden, they, you know, a group of busybodies get together and they stop fishing on a certain park lake. Parks are public. They are for public convenience. They are for public use. They are for obviously nature and everything else. And, you know, we pay council tax in our relevant boroughs, and that money is used for this sort of stuff. So there are much better ways, and obviously they've tried to stop fishing on there. That hasn't worked. So the best solution they can come up with, well, let's just kill all the fish. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, get a decent fishing club on there, fund it, have bailiffs on there, and let them control the litter and, you know, line being left around, stuff like that. It's way better than, well, what's the solution to save one part of nature? Let's save the swans and cygnets by killing something else. It just is, the logic's flawed.
Yeah, there's another bit of flawed logic that I read, is they want to clean up the water quality because they're blaming the fish from stirring up the bottom and creating algae blooms with all the food that's chucked in. They want to clear the water up so it is aesthetically pleasing and plant more aquatic weeds, you know, lily pads and stuff. Yeah, it's a park lake where the public are probably chucking half a ton of bread at all the ducks each week.
Exactly. Like, I mean, overstocked lakes do, you know, the fish will churn the bottom, especially if there's lots and lots of carp in there, which I believe there is. That is going to happen. But there are lots of other ways of controlling the water quality without just killing all the fish. I mean, you know, like the ecosystem of a lake, it needs fish. You know, fish do have a role in lakes as well. You know, there's when you get new lakes dug, you know, for gravel and stuff, the EA quite often just go and throw a load of fish in there anyway, just to keep the ecosystem all balanced. I mean, that you know, before anybody even owns a lake or has rights to fish it or anything, I mean, it's that's happened on some lakes near here where the EA just went and stocked it.
Yeah, there's another thing. They must want everyone to get bit to death by mouses in the summer, because if you don't have fish to feed on the bloodworm and the hatching midges, that's exactly what will happen.
There's a set of reservoirs, drinking water reservoirs, up in Manchester. Now, I'm not going to name them. But,
because there's
a housing estate by the side of these reservoirs, and these are like level 2 drinking water. They're not like the first level, they're like purified, and I think they're kind of like the second level, you know, just before we actually get to drink the water. And so you can imagine how clean that water is. It's pretty damn clean. Now the bloom of insects that come off that lake in the spring is so bad that the housing estate nearby complain regularly to the powers that be, the council and in turn the water authority, because when there's a wind, it's literally, you know, you're swallowing them and your house is covered in them and everything, you know. And the water board actually stocked carp. They bought them off Simo. Thousands of them, thousands and thousands of carp. They stocked carp into a drinking water reservoir to control the flies and bugs. So, I mean, what does that tell you about our ecosystems? They're saying, let's get rid of the fish and kill them all. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I hope that it's not going to actually happen. Sorry, there's noise in the background because our cat, when he wants to go out, it just bangs the wooden blinds. It just keeps hitting him until you let it out the window. So I'm gonna have to let
through the window.
I'm gonna have to let it out the window. Hand over to you, Mark.
Oh, oh, oh!
Happy Christmas and Happy New Year to all the Carp Podcast listeners, including Mr. Mark Holmes, my favourite. And yeah, hopefully I'll speak to you all soon in the future.
Oh, oh, oh.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, to all the Carpcast listeners out there, a very, very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from Mr. Mark Holmes. Hopefully, and God bless, we'll see you in 2016, listening and catching more fish.
Oh, oh, oh.
I'm introducing another small feature called Loose Feed. Just for shorts, little news shorts that don't need too much of a discussion. So, first one, the Shimano DVD I mentioned a cast or two ago is now going to be online. So, if you've not picked it up in one of your shops, it will be online shortly in 6 parts. So, if you want your Ian McMillan fix, it's on its way.
Yes, YouTube.
Yeah, it'll be on YouTube, Shimano Facebook page, and no doubt Ian McMillan, Marvin Waite and all the Shimano folk will whore it all over the place, as they do.
Quite right, too.
Yeah, and everywhere he's still fishing his tits off.
It's on the net. It must be true.
Yeah, we mentioned this earlier when we were talking about Cromwell and the DNA adverts. Get your bait out for all these fish. But have you seen the fish that... It's been coming out of St. John's.
Yeah, big common at 46 and the plated at 47 to one chap called Darren Knight.
Yeah, he was with Tom Maker. I don't know if it's one of Tom Maker's pals or if he was on a tuition or something. It'd be an amazing story if he was on a coaching tuition thingy. But he pretty much had him in 24 hours, didn't he? I saw the pictures go up on Facebook.
Yeah, he got his money's worth if he did. But, I mean, other big fish, the big one from Monk's Pit, 51.
51, December. Yeah, that's a huge fish. Nigel Sharp had a brace of commons, did you see that?
Yeah, 34 and 38.
Yeah, from Frimley, right. I believe he's fishing. They look like Frimley commons.
Speaking of commons, the Kitch, the big one from Northy Park's out again at just under 15. You know what I find interesting about that?
Mm.
That is a very shallow water. Shallow waters are usually the first to shut up.
I actually think shallow waters are the ones you want to be fishing in winter, because they react to, you know, you get a day of sun and they do react to it quick. Yes, they go colder quicker, but let's be honest, you know, we've been having like mid-teens temperatures and big warm southerlies. You know, you can go out in T-shirt in the middle of December, it's that warm, so I'm not surprised it's fishing. Obviously, a shallower lake's going to, the water's going to get turned over quicker, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm just not surprised everywhere's fishing. I just, you know what, I've had a good season myself this year. I've really enjoyed it. I've got my mojo back and I need some big fish tickets for next year. I'm just kind of in that twilight zone at the minute. I enjoy hiking, I'll keep my ticket because it's always good fun, but I'm 40 years old and I need some 40 pound carp.
Yeah, it's I've got the fishing buzz back. Like I say, I'm looking forward to getting fishing this week, and obviously there's a few places I've got my eye on next year.
Yeah, anywhere you want to share with us?
No, not just yet. there is one place that I am aware of that happens to be free fishing as well. So I cannot name locations. Suffice to say, there is a number of householdy name anglers that are onto it at the minute. But it has got some very large fish in it and a reasonable amount of them.
Okay, you can tell me off air.
You have to cross my palm with about 1,500 quid, I reckon.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll save you these Icelandic licorice chocolates.
maybe. There's a deal to be done.
Yeah, because every time you've gone on a rant, I've stuffed my face with them.
Something else is going to be on YouTube, or I've seen on YouTube, and it's definitely worth a look.
Worth a look.
It's going to be Mark Pitcher's Fox Christmas Challenge. I don't know if you've seen anything about this.
I've seen it advertised, and other than is it 6 o'clock on Christmas Day, it's going to be launched to us.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, when we try and knock the queen off top perch for most listened to things at lunchtime on Christmas Day. If you are listening to this and you've still got time to tune in for the Fox Christmas Challenge, it'll be on YouTube and on their page and Facebook page and stuff. They're releasing it at 6 p.m. On Christmas Day, and I had a little chat with Rob Hughes earlier, and he told me he gave me a little spoiler of what it's about, and you don't want to miss it. It sounds really good. I can't say what it is, unfortunately. I would love to.
I can't, because I don't know. I'll be waiting. I shall disappear from the family gathering and sit in the corner. I'll just go for sit on the toilet with my iPhone and watch it.
It's a pretty interesting concept that they've done, and I shan't spoil it except to say, how can I say this? Yeah. I'm sure after watching this, Rob Hughes' missus will probably be cooking the Christmas dinner. That's all I'm saying. Can't say any more. But check it out, 6 p.m. Christmas Day.
YouTube, or in 3 hours.
Fox, and yeah. If you're listening to this second as it came out, instead of listening to the Queen,
worth a look.
Yep, there's another. A quick worth a look. There's one thing I've not done for a long time is write any articles for any magazines since I left the sponsorship merry-go-round. So I've actually written one. It's in an online mag called Carp Universe. So have a look, because I'm in it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I've not actually looked at Carp Universe yet. I know you've been speaking to the chap who runs it. It's a pretty busy online magazine.
Yeah, it's Mark Williams. It's the same chap who does the Hobo Armour clothing that advertised with us.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, but also give it a mention, because you know what it's like nowadays if you're a young lad, or you just fancy breaking into writing any articles for magazines. It's not easy. But there's Carp Universe and one or two other of the online magazines. They're good for starters. So if you fancy giving writing a go, this is a place where you can get in.
Cool, yeah, do it. I've got a worth a look as well, actually.
Worth a look.
It's a non-fishing worth a look. For any of you that have got into podcasts, use them for driving or going to sleep or whatever, it's called Generation Y. Is it Generation Y or Generation Who? Generation Y, I think. And it's basically a true crime podcast. Absolutely fantastic. It's some of the murders, and it's mainly murders. Some of them you'll have heard of, some of them you won't have heard of. You know, there's a lot of famous ones on there, but it's basically unraveling. You know, they've usually got a guest, like the police officer in the case at the time, or you know, one of the relatives or something, and it basically just goes through loads of kind of they're not clear-cut murders. They're quite often ones that are a little bit suspicious. You know, they may have the wrong person, or you know, it was an extremely high-profile case. But I don't know why I enjoy it. But it's about number two in the all-time podcasts on iTunes, so it seems pretty popular. I've just got onto it a bit late. But yeah, Generation Who, and there's hundreds of them to go back over if you're struggling for carpy content to listen. Can you hear my cat now? Wants to come back in the window. Did you hear it?
Oh, looking out in the rain. But yeah, I've just actually got my phone and I found that one. It's the Generation Y, as in the word Y.
Yeah. It's a really good podcast. I listened to one the other day. It was all about Kurt Cobain, you know, the Nirvana frontman who killed himself, or allegedly killed himself. Listen to the podcast.
Despite having far too much heroin in his stream to operate a gun. Is that the one?
Yeah, well, have a listen. It's extremely interesting.
On how guilty, allegedly guilty, Courtney Love is or might be.
Yes, there is plenty of talk about Courtney Love in that situation. But anyway, it's a really good podcast. I like it. And what put me onto the true crime podcast was one we mentioned in an earlier Worth a Look. It was called Serial, which is a true story. It's actually an interview from the guy that's still in jail, supposed to have murdered his ex-girlfriend many, many years ago, an extremely popular like high school, college student. That cat's going to... I'm going to strangle it. I love cats, but he's doing my head in. He bangs at the blinds to go out, and then 2 minutes later, he's meowing as loud. You can probably hear it on the mic because he won't shut up. But
yeah, we can. You're gonna have to let him in because it sounds like you're torturing him now. You
I'll let him in then. One sec.
You need a flap
on the blinds again, though, which is why I get extremely frustrated with the little shit bag.
Yeah. Why don't you get some flaps for your pussy to come through?
I love him, really. Yeah, but the Serial, it's called Serial, S-E-R-I-A-L. It's absolutely fantastic. You can listen to all of the first series. It's still number one podcast on iTunes, and it was 10 months ago. It finished 10 months ago, the first series, and it's still number one podcast on iTunes. The second series has just come out. And it's a story that's currently in the news as well. It's about a American soldier who walked off his post deliberately in Afghanistan, walked off his post, got captured by the Taliban, was locked up for 5 years or kidnapped for 5 years. Lots of American soldiers died trying to rescue him. Bear in mind, this guy's voluntarily walked off his post. A deserter, if the truth be known. Anyway, it's his story. What this podcast is on episode 3 at the minute, and it's just been in the news this week that the American Army are court-martialing him, like the highest level of court-martial where he can get life imprisonment. They've thrown a load of stuff at him, and this has gone on for years. He's been rescued 3 or 4 years. You know, he was... Barack Obama has spoke about him on TV when they rescued him. They've had a lot of operations. It's a really complex story, but pretty interesting. And they're up to episode 3 at the minute, and it's called Serial. The first series, definitely worth a listen, about a guy called Anam Syed, who's supposed to murder his ex-girlfriend, but he's still in jail. He would have been out by now if he'd admitted it. He'd have been out 3 years ago if he'd admitted that he did it, and he's saying he didn't do it. And, you know, for somebody who all they had to do is say, yeah, I did do it, he would have been out of jail by now. You kind of believe him, and it's an interesting story. But the new one, I mean, it's something that's current in the news at the minute, and it's a great podcast, really well produced. And it's called Serial, so it's definitely worth a look.
Oh, listen. Now, you know what, you've put me onto a few of these podcasts. I need more time. I need more free time to actually listen to them all. I need to jump further away.
Yeah,
more time driving.
I do a lot of driving. Somebody said that to me yesterday. Actually, I'm telling people all about these podcasts, and he's like, "How do you get time to listen to them all?" I'm like, "I don't know," but like, I just have them on all the time. If I'm doing stuff, I listen to them at night. I'll quite often listen to an episode or something in the morning when I get up. Mainly at night, I guess, I listen to them. And whenever I'm in the car, it just makes time absolutely fly when you're driving anywhere.
Yeah. I honestly can't remember the last time I put the radio on in the car now.
Oh, I haven't listened to the radio in years. It's all podcasts for me now. It's, you can listen to stuff that you're actually interested in, like fishing and Christmas. It's Christmas.
Yes. Are we... I'm just thinking, we've been going over an hour now, so are we going to leave everyone with a Christmas thought?
Yes, we can do. Have you got a Christmas thought?
I was hoping you did. No, I have got one thought.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the drop-shotting thing come up on Facebook again. And basically, a few people have posted pictures of cracking perch they've caught. You know, I'm not jealous. I certainly want one myself, though. Or two, or three. And then you get the miserable old sod slating it off, saying it's a fashion, blah, blah, blah. Now, I think there is parallels to be drawn with people slating perch fishing and drop shotting with homophobic people.
Why?
Because I'm thinking these people slating perch fishing and drop shotting, they really want to go. Much in the same way that homophobes really fancy a bit of man love.
Do you reckon that?
So, yeah, so if you're slagging perch fishing off, you're a closet homo. That is my thought for the day.
I'm not sure I'll follow your logic there, but I reckon you've just insulted a load of people.
Unlucky.
It's only me that does that. I don't know. You can do it this week. That's a nice Christmas thought. I don't know why... I don't know why your logic has come round to that. I still blame Hollyoaks.
I think this can that I've been drinking through the podcast may have something to do with that.
Yep. I think we've hopefully lasted longer than the Queen. Hopefully people haven't turned off yet.
How long do you think she does last at her age?
I'm not sure, but I bet she didn't have John Mack wishing you Happy Christmas, so... I'm pretty sure she didn't.
No, she's probably glad.
And Hughie and everyone else, yeah, thanks to the people who took time out of the day, and we wanted to get a load more people, but I only had the idea to get hold of a few Carpcast guests to wish everybody Happy Christmas. I only had it at the last minute, so if I didn't contact you, I apologise, because it was an absolute last minute thing. And it was basically whoever I could get hold of quickly. But from us, we will be back next week with a guest as normal. But we didn't want to let Christmas Day go by without doing the Carpcast Christmas wishes. We wish you all the best. A Carpy Christmas and a Carpy New Year.
Yeah, and we hope Santa empties his sack full of goodies for all of you.
Yes, we will be back. We'll do a New Year's Day episode as well.
We'll have a New Year's Carpy resolutions.
Yeah, and we'll do some listeners' questions as well. So if you want to get some questions into us for the New Year edition, then fire away, and we will endeavour to ask them. And if you want to theme them like goals for the year type thing.
What about winter fishing questions? And if you've got any Carpy New Year's resolutions or suggestions, send them over.
Yeah. Let's do that. Until then, have a great Christmas Day. Don't get too fat. Don't eat too much turkey. And if you can get out fishing between Christmas and New Year, as long as I'm in Peg 6 on Cromwell before you, then I'll catch loads of fish.
I'm going to be in Peg 5 and cast over.
Catch you later.
See ya.
Hi there, everyone. I'm Ali Hamidi, wishing you all a wonderful Christmas and a New Year. Even though Jamie will probably ask for New Year wishes as well. Thank you for all your support, everything you've done for us over the year. Wishing you a brilliant one. Loads of fish, loads of booze, maybe the odd nosh off your bird.
Ho, ho, ho.